You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com. This is the second half of my guest appearance on the Ever Vigilant podcast with Joe Prim. Enjoy the show.
For those, Mark, that don't know what an EMP is, you want to explain? I know you've had some interviews with Dr. Vincent Pry, so you have some good knowledge about what an EMP is.
Sure.
How it would affect us.
I'll quickly say, you know, Dr. Pry is he was the former nuclear strategist for the CIA, so that's a fairly top level position. He currently serves on the Congressional Board for EMP, which is Congress put together a group of people, a think tank, to say, you know, how likely is it that we could get hit by an EMP and what would the effects be? So this is your government that put a bunch of people in a room that said, tell us what will happen if we have an EMP. So that group of people that your government put together said if we had an EMP, it would take us back to the Stone Ages back to the 1800s is really what they said. But we don't have those the systems of support. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the tools and the capabilities that we had in the 1800s if we were reduced to that level technologically. So they estimated that within the first year, 90% of the population in America would be dead. So there's no computers. Most cars built after 1980 have computer chips in them, so they're not going to operate. There's going to be no electricity. There's going to be no ATMs. There's going to be no trucks running food to the grocery stores, you know. I live in Florida, and I can go to the grocery store and buy oranges that are grown which we grow right here in Florida. But I can go buy oranges from California that were driven all the way across the country to another state that grows its own oranges. And you know, all of that kind of madness is going to stop if we have an EMP, and it's going to stop suddenly and instantly. So it's one of those things that you either get prepared for an event like that before it happens, or you don't get prepared for it at all. Whether you're on city water or whether you're on a well in a rural area, you get your water from electricity. Very few people have had the forethought to put a hand pump on their well, even in rural areas where that's a possibility. So, you know, you can live 3 days without water. So if you don't have water, even if you live by a lake or a stream, you know, there's a good chance that somebody upstream is either going to contaminate it, like what we see in Haiti, or they're going to divert it for their own use. So, you have to think about if there was no water tomorrow, if the lights went out tomorrow and there was no water pump for the city's water and my electric pump, if I'm on a well, if that's shut off, how would I get water? Because without water, you're dead in 3 days. So then food storage and all that other stuff isn't even an issue because the dehydration will kill you.
So for those that think that, you know, an EMP is kind of pie in the sky and something that's great to write books about, Mark, how would something like that occur?
Dr. Pry says that North Korea has two satellites orbiting over America every 24 hours. One of the two is over top of us. And he said that they are supposedly agricultural satellites, which would mean that, you know, they take pictures of agricultural things. What that usually means in the intelligence realm is that they're spy satellites. But even a spy satellite is going to take a picture of something, and it's going to send information back to Earth. Neither one of these satellites are transmitting any data at all. So he thinks that there's a strong possibility that each of those could house a nuclear warhead that could be projected at will by the North Koreans to some type of a very, very rudimentary entry system. Getting the satellite up there was the hard part. And if it has a nuclear warhead on it, getting the warhead back into the optimum height to which to detonate to produce the worst possible EMP. You could do one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and effectively wipe out the entire grid in America. So he thinks that that's a possibility. Ted Koppel wrote a book called Lights Out, and he says that that the Russians and the Iranians, which, you know, we're not getting along so well with either of them in the past few weeks, whether you're talking about the tensions between Iran and Israel right now, which that's all over Syria. And, of course, we're on opposing sides from Russia in that squabble as well. But Ted Koppel says that they're in all of our SCADA systems, which are the control systems that operate the electrical grid and water and telecommunications and all of our critical infrastructure are controlled by SCADA systems. And he says that they have viruses in them that are like sleeper cells that could be activated at will to have the same effect as an EMP, but more as just a keystroke on a computer to issue a command that could have the same effect. Of course, in that type of situation, you would still have cars until the gas pumps quit, until they ran out of gas, because the gas pumps wouldn't work. And then there's also the possibility of a solar flare, which, you know, we're not, our grid hasn't been hardened against even just natural, a natural assault from radiation from the sun, which happens regularly. And the last time that we had a bad episode was the Carrington event back in the 1800s. Of course, we were on a telegraph back then, but it burned up all the telegraph wires. So if we had another type of event like that, that would take out all of our power lines, our transformers, and computers. So there's quite a few different things that could actually cause that event. And, you know, while the odds of them happening may not be very high, you know, the odds of you breaking a leg aren't very high. The odds of your house burning down aren't very high. The odds of you getting hit by a car aren't very high. But you've got insurance against all of those things, because the odds of those things happening are not zero.
Exactly.
So it makes sense to have insurance against things that are much, much more catastrophic than a car wreck or a broken leg or a house fire. Because all those things, yeah, with society in place, you can recover from any of those things as long as you don't die in the process. So,
right. It's our culture and society that's totally reliant on technology that becomes our biggest weakness, right? It's all the little things, like how do you produce insulin and get insulin out to people? Or, like, you compared it in the 1800s, you had, you know, companies that made baby bottles, you know, probably maybe 20 different companies throughout the United States, right, that were glass companies that manufactured baby bottles, maybe one in St. Louis and one in New York and one in Dallas and those could be shipped around easily for people to get to. But without any of that old school knowledge and infrastructure, we would be way behind the eight ball.
Yeah, but in the 1800s, everybody either had a hand pump well, a well with a bucket that they lowered down, or a spring that they went to get the water from. And all the transportation was either a steam-powered locomotive or a horse-drawn buggy. So, you know, none of those systems are affected by a solar flare. But today, that's all gone. We don't have any of that. We don't have any of that infrastructure that was present in the 1800s. And when people get hungry, they get very desperate. So, you know, you also have to have systems to defend yourself if you are prepared for such an event. And you got to have protocols too with your group, and you got to know how you're going to. Everybody has to understand that you know, as much as you want to help, we have to know before the event ever happens what we're able to do and what we're not able to do, and then we have to hold tight to that line, because if we don't, then everybody's going to die.
Yeah.
Going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at campingsurvival.com.
Yeah, lot to think about, Mark. I mean, even you start, you know, the other day I was playing around with security numbers and how many people you would need on a security team to guard a location 24/7. I mean, even just with three intersecting guard posts, or, you know, you would need between 9 and 18 people, shooters, just for manning, you know, guard posts for a, you know, for one location for 24/7 security. So there are a lot to think about, a lot to, like you said, plan for, because this stuff may never happen, but if it does, you want better put yourself in the best position possible.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've got extra food and you've got water and all of that type of thing, then, you know, you're better situated to handle less severe crises as well. You know, if you've got a year's worth of food and you lose your job, then you don't have to worry about eating, you know, even if it's the stuff you've stored isn't exactly what you like to eat every single day. You're not going to starve to death. And, you know, if you've got access to water and, you know, and you have an ice storm and the tree limbs snap off and take down the power lines, then, you know, you've got water. And, you know, if you have a hurricane, it's a really bad one, and people are out looting, and you've got a security system in place and a security team and protocol, and everybody can get together, then at least, you know, you'll be able to keep your family safe, even if civility breaks down for a week or two.
Yeah, exactly. If you're prepared for the worst, it makes lesser problems and lesser situations that much easier to handle.
Right.
So as we wrap things up here, Mark, do you have a challenge you'd like to throw out for the men that are listening to this podcast?
Yeah, I do. The reason that our churches are such a wreck, the reason that people are still supporting, and then there's a lot of people that do not support their church. You know, they just go there, just go show up and check it off the box of, hey, I went to church this week and I'm a good boy. You know, and they don't give to their church, and they don't give anywhere else. You know, I think tithing is, or not tithing, but you know, giving and above and beyond. You know, tithe's a good place to start, but you know, at some point, God should, you know, as he's providing for you, you know, you should feel challenged to try to go above and beyond that, and not necessarily to your church to get a bigger HD screen or a you know, a better coffee shop, or, you know, a waterfall that's in the middle of the church that can be used as a baptismal. And I know that sounds like hyperbole, but I actually just left a church, and that's what their plan is to do, is to basically turn it into the mall with the waterfall and the Starbucks and, you know, and the kids zone and all of that kind of thing. So, you know, and I'm not saying that you should give more and more of your hard-earned money to those types of projects, but, you know, there are people all over the world, there are Christians all over the world, Voice of the Martyrs, that's trying to, you know, help the widows of Christians that have been killed for their faith, or trying to get people free from prisons and bondages and things like that, for people that have been in prison for their faith. And you know, there's missions. There's Haiti is filled with orphans. Africa, you know, the AIDS epidemic wiped out so many people. That entire continent is just filled with orphans, and there's so many people that could use your help. And in America, you know, we're still better off than 90% of the planet. If you're poor in America, you're better off than 90% of the planet. And just any little thing you can do helps those people. And but I'm getting off on a rabbit trail again. But my challenge is for men and women to start reading their Bibles, to get up every day before you do anything else. Read your Bible. Maybe it's while you have your coffee or your breakfast or whatever, but read your Bible every day, because if you're not reading it, you don't even know when you go to church on Sunday if they're telling you the truth. You don't know if they're doing church right. You don't know if they're doing church God's way, and you don't know if you're living God's way or not. You know, once you get that knowledge, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do everything right, but you're going to know when you're stepping out of line. And then you'll be able to make a rational decision. There's so many people, so many times Paul says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:9, he says, do not be deceived. The people that live this way, you know, idolaters and greedy and homosexuals and adulterers and fornicators, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, you know. And he's, and there's so many different places in the Bible where it says, do not be deceived. And why does it say that? Because so many people are deceived. They think, I'm doing good. I'm living a good life. God's happy with me, you know, because they're going to a fluffy, feel-good church that doesn't preach about sin, you know, and there's grace, and we all need grace. And I'm nobody's a bigger recipient of God's grace and a bigger mess up and a bigger screw up than myself, you know, and it's not by my merits. It's not because Mark Goodwin's such a great guy that I'm going to heaven, but it's because of the blood of Jesus. But, you know, I'm thankful for that. And I don't want to make those mistakes anymore. And I want to be continually growing and getting closer and closer to God. And I cannot do that if I'm not reading my own Bible myself every single day. And I can't depend on the church to do it. And as somebody that reads their Bible, I'll tell you about 90 to 95% of the churches out there are not telling you the whole truth, and they are leading people astray. And the reason that's happening is because their congregants are not reading that Bible themselves, or they're reading it and then they're not believing it because they're listening to some other interpretation from that pulpit rather than listening to the Spirit of God tell them what he's trying to communicate to them personally. So that's my challenge. Read your Bible every day.
That's great, Mark. And I do want to go back to that rabbit trail you went off on. Missions is in a sorry state in our country. We should be embarrassed by the way our churches are treating missions. I have two stories. One of them I want to quickly throw out there because it's been on my mind a lot, and I think it needs to be mentioned. My parents are missionaries down in Guatemala. They've been down there for the last 10 years to wrapping up their 10-year commitment to God. And last summer, they come back for maybe a month each year to raise support and do doctor's appointments and dentist appointments and visit their family. And last year, before they came back, They had a video presentation my mom had spent hours making with the girls in the home that they work at. And it was a video to say thank you, to say thank you to the church for their support, thank you to the individual donors, and let the people of the one of the churches that was supporting them see the girls and kind of serve as a reminder for people and also maybe help raise some support. And my mom sent that into the church to ask them to play it that next Sunday, and they said no, that they would not be able to do that. And my mom was pretty shocked and surprised, and she's asked if there was something wrong with the video or something wrong with the type of video that it was. And they said, no, we can't squeeze that into the service. And my mom asked and mentioned that it was only, I believe, like 2 minutes and 30-second video. And what do you mean that you can't squeeze that into the service? And they assured my mother that the services were planned down to the last minute and that they could not squeeze that 2 minutes and 30 seconds into their service.
It's an entertainment production. It's Dancing with the Stars is what that's what people go to church for. They're going to church to be entertained, to get a feel-good music. There's some happy, fluffy music. And for the pastor to tell them that everything's okay and it doesn't matter how they're living their life, that Jesus loves them and they don't need to change. And that's what they're going there for. And that's what the boards and everybody else that's how they keep the coffers going, and it's a business. And it's a production. So they're trying to produce a entertainment system. So that's where we're at. That's the state of church right now. And sadly enough, there's just not that discernment out there for people to even know. If people stopped going to those churches and started going to the real churches that preach the truth, then, they'd close all their doors. But they're there because that's where people want to go.
I have a suspicion, though, Mark, that when somebody who doesn't go to church regularly or has never gone to church or hasn't gone for years, when the Holy Spirit prompts them and they actually get out of bed on that Sunday morning, maybe a little hungover, maybe tired from the night before, and they show up at church, that they are expecting something different. And I can't help but think that there are many people that leave those churches disappointed that they didn't find the truth there, that all they found was a watered-down cotton candy and end up never going back again and never seeking for anything deeper, thinking there's no difference, like you said, between going to the shopping mall or Starbucks and showing up to church on Sunday.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right.
I have this in my heart. I have this feeling that, like so much of what Jesus taught, of where the first will be last and the last will be first, where it's contradictory to what our human minds think. And the human mind thinks, oh, if I make this real fluffy and make people feel good and make this really entertaining, that more people will come. And I think maybe it's just the opposite. And then I think maybe this is why there is such a crisis of men leaving churches, and the crisis of men no longer attending churches and no longer seeing that it's irrelevant whatsoever in their lives, is because of this watered down Candyland church that we've invented.
I think you're absolutely right. I think you hit the nail on the head.
So we'll switch from that important real topic to what do you like? What do you always carry with you, Mark? What's a piece of EDC gear that you've always got on you?
Oh, my Columbia River knife and tool. It's an M16 LEZ. It's the one with the seat belt cutter, the glass breaker on it, with the Tonto tip and a serrated blade. And they make that in three different sizes. There's the 10, which is is just a little bit too short, and then there's the 14-inch, which is just a little bit too bulky, and then there's the 12 right in the middle, and that's the Goldilocks, and I just I feel naked if I don't have that knife on me.
Nice. I always find it interesting, Mark. Everybody's got their own piece. I'll have to make up like a post sometime or something with everybody's recommended piece of EDC gear that they don't leave home without.
Yeah, and it's got the pocket clip so that, you know, you can have it like resting right there where it's super accessible, and it's just it's a great knife. I hate to say something's perfect, but man, it's the perfect knife. It really is.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll check it out, definitely. So, Mark, thanks for joining me on Ever Vigilant. I really appreciate you. I have a lot of respect for you, and I've been a listener to your podcast for a long time and have really learned a lot and really enjoyed listening to your books. They made many, many a long commute bearable. So thanks, Mark. I do appreciate you and your writing, and I will leave as much information on you as I can in the show notes so that those that haven't read any of your books or listened to your podcast can check them out.
Joe, thanks so much for having me on. It's really been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The second book of the runaway best-selling series, Ava's Crucible by Mark Goodwin, is now available in Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. America Has Fallen, and Ava's Band of Misfits is all that stands between freedom and absolute tyranny. Political division in the United States has reached the boiling point, and the Second American Civil War is well underway. Communist agitators have been successful in their efforts to intimidate voters from key states and steal the election. A far-left socialist candidate has seized the reins of power, and his designs against the Republic are absolute. With a sympathetic Congress, he will sign in sweeping bans on firearms, criminalize free speech, and institute a new government agency to root out dissenters. Ava's group pledges to launch an insurgency campaign against the occupying force in Texas, but they'll have to watch out for those who have been tasked with purging the patriots. Her team cannot fail in their mission to liberate Texas. If Texas falls, America's demise is all but certain. Get your copy of this post-apocalyptic thrill ride from Amazon.com today.